All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, I think. Good morning. It is May 10th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it is spectacular wherever you are at. It is actually gorgeous out today. Got up this morning, went for a walk. Walked with my buddy James, the doctor. He's working through some health issues, so we're not running, we're just walking, and it's nice. It's nice to, get together, chat, kind of debrief, right? It's nice to have somebody in your life that is sort of on the same level with certain things, right? And so it's nice to have somebody to bounce ideas or thoughts off with, and that's always what the doctor has been to me, Big Jimmy, and so grateful for that guy. He was one, it's funny. When I first came into this program, or came to a program, or when I first started making an attempt at changing my life, right? My life was such, it was very typical for the person that I was, right? It was, it was just a shit life, right? Just barely getting by, living a life of self, doing anything I could to try to prove that I wasn't struggling with whether it was alcohol or drugs. Just horrible existence, right? We talk about heaven and hell, and it's fun. I was thinking about this the other day at the meeting. I'm like, all my life, heaven has always been this place that you go to, right? We are here, and then if you behave and do the right thing, you will go to heaven, right? And if you do not, you go to hell. And is that what a self-centered person thinks? I mean, because that's what I've always thought. I've never really been told differently. I'm not sure. Does anybody understand? I have no idea. But one thing that I've learned through recovery and just trying to be a better person is that, sometimes it feels like, I'm living in hell right here, right? Could that be the case? Could we be living in a hell right now? I don't feel like I'm living in one right now because I feel like I've done a lot of work and I'm past that. But there has been times in my life where I lived in an absolute hell, right? I was, I was possessed, right? So I'm living in sort of this hell. But always thinking, I got to do good because I want to go to heaven, right? And always wondering if all this bad shit that I've done in my life has already assigned me a seat on that train to hell. But what I've learned is that, and all that focus on what I'm going to be one day, I needed to start realizing that I could focus on my life today and improve my situation, right? And it's weird. I remember as a young person in my early 20s being diagnosed with depression, anxiety, bipolar. I ran the gamut, right? I had it all. And I didn't feel like I had any of that, right? I just was diagnosed. And, the depression I get, right? Because it was depressing. I was a young kid, and I just sort of found this new thing, right? And it was called pot, And I started smoking pot as an early teenager and just loved it, and found a group of people that all loved it, and great people, and the mission was always great, and the outcome was a lot of fun, and we had our ups and downs, but what a fun time in my life, right? And then to be told by my parents, you can't smoke pot, right? You cannot, and we will put all effort to preventing you from smoking pot. And so that's depressing, right? I spent a lot of my 9th, 10th, definitely 9th and 10th grade grounded, right? I was always in trouble, and it was a very dark time in my life. I remember having a conversation with my mom, and I just felt like, at the time, I think I was diving pretty deep into the Pink Floyd, The Wall, and there was just a lot of depressing songs that just were like the blanket for my pathetic life, right? And I was just down and dark and just didn't understand. And really what it was for me, and this is just stuff that I'm sort of thinking about for me. If you deal with depression, anxiety, bipolar. Listen, that's your journey. You know, obviously, work with a doctor or whatever you can do to figure out how you can either improve that or manage it or whatever it is. But for me, you know, early diagnosis of depression was basically, you know, this young guy wanting to try and go and have fun, you know, pot. And obviously we were doing some drinking and just partying like I think a lot of, you know, 10th and 11th grade, 12th grade teenagers do. But we were having just the time of our life. And to have that sort of taken away and be grounded, I mean, I was grounded all the time. I couldn't go out because I was always in trouble. You know, my whole life was based on a drug test. My parents always drug tested us every month. If we failed, we were grounded. We lost the privileges. You know, at some point I'm like, just ground me, right? Because I'm, you know, I was self-centered, right? I chose pot, right? I chose pot and all of the anxiety and stress that came along with it. And believe me, in those days, I was full of anxiety because I always knew that I was failing at something, letting somebody down, right? Usually my parents or school, and probably living in some fucking crazy lie, right? Because I was such a liar as a kid. And it was always about school, right? Did you go to school? Yes. I didn't, right? I ditched. Did you do all your work? I did, right? I didn't. Are you passing? I am. I wasn't, right? It was always, you know, I didn't need to lie about, you know, the sky is falling. I didn't need to lie about, you know, things that I've done. What I lied about were things that I was doing that my parents didn't like. And so it was just constantly lies, anxiety, worry, stress, depression because of the situation, right? And, you know, bipolar for me, you know, and it was described to me as, and I have experienced this, you know, in early sobriety. You know, if you told me I was doing a great job, I wanted to be president of the company. If you told me that I was doing a bad job, more than likely, I wanted to jump off a building.
She lived on a curve in the road in an old tar paper shack on the south side of the town on the wrong side of the tracks. Sometimes on the way into town, we'd say, Mama, can we stop and give her a ride? Sometimes we did, but her hands flew from her side. Wild-eyed, crazy Mary.
You know, it's, I think back to that whole situation and it was just a mess, right? And it was a mess and I was the problem. And, you know, I carried that for a long time that I, you know, had been diagnosed with anxiety, depression, and bipolar. And, but what I've learned, right, you know, and I was talking to my wife about this morning because, you know, I think we all struggle with anxiety, right? And one of the challenges I think with anxiety is that I tend to put it under one big umbrella. Right? One big umbrella of anxiety, one big umbrella of depression. And I told her this morning, I said, I believe that anxiety and depression are just moments when we're just not getting what we want, right? Or moments where we could have done better. We all know it. And I'm the last one to admit it. That's how it feels for me, right? You know, if I have anxiety about something, it's usually I haven't probably put enough effort into it. And I am always guilty of that. You know, I love doing stuff, but sometimes I love the idea, I love the research, I love the start of it, but really getting into the heart of the project is sometimes tough for me, right? It's usually where my lack of education or my ability to, I think it really comes down to lack of education, really. I mean, there's a reason I was grounded half my life early on, and because I just hated school. And so, but what would happen is that when, you know, if I have a situation that I'm working on and it's bringing me anxiety, all of a sudden I just feel like I have anxiety. And what really is happening is that I'm having anxiety over one thing, but I have such a broad focus on it that it's hard to identify what the issue is, right? And so this program, you know, getting sober, you know, it's great, right? It's, we learn so much, right? We get to learn about having a spiritual awakening. We learn about, for me at least, my real, I didn't realize how self-centered I was, really. I didn't realize how I had basically said, I will not have a relationship with the higher power, because I thought, another big umbrella, right? Spiritual awakening and spiritual relationship obviously must mean church, right? And, you know, this week, I started to do a podcast the other day. I don't know if I did it, but, you know, we're talking about the third step and that, you know, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of a higher power, I guess. And I think that's where I felt like that I was going to have to start going to church. And so, you know, it's just these big, broad thoughts that create, for me, anxiety. I do not feel I have depression anymore. Honestly, anything that I'm depressed about, I'm just not getting what I want, right? If I get depressed, you know, sometimes I get down that I have to work so much or that I have to, right, pick up the kids, just shit that's inconvenient, right? And, you know, you do that enough and then all of a sudden, and you don't have enough conversations about it, you start building these secret little resentments in your head. And then all of a sudden, I start feeling like I'm bummed out, like, poor me, right? Poor me. I can't believe I have to do all this, right? And so I can usually snap out of that pretty quick. I'm like, stop, right? So depression, now there's seasonal depression, I think, that I think I go through. I think a lot of people, especially where I live, I mean, we go from, you know, times like this where it's just fantastic to, you know, December, January, February, where it's cold and windy and there's just not a lot to do. You find yourself in the house a lot watching TV, right, or whatever it is that I do, right? And then I start feeling bad about myself. I'm like, you're not doing much, Tom, right? You're just lazy. And that just starts to, you know, these are these little rocks, right, that we like to carry around. And then you get so many rocks, you start to get bummed out about it. And so the program has taught me, listen, what's going on, Tom? Is this seasonal depression? You know, maybe I need to go for a walk, right? That's why I try to get out and run. I try to stay active. I try to join things so that other people are relying on me to show up, because I still have that voice, right, that'll sit there and say, do we need to do this, Tom? Do we need to go run by ourselves this morning? And a lot of the times it'll give me an opportunity to back out of it. So that's why I like to join the paddle club. You know, I go to group meetings with other people. I run with people. I walk this morning, like with my buddy James. So, you know, trying to stay active, it helps keep me out of that seasonal depression. You know, four-step, recognizing, you know, every situation, you know, the Mr. Jones story. You know, that guy, whoever was talking about Mr. Jones, he could have been depressed, right? He was depressed that everybody else was doing so much better than him, and it just isn't fair, right? And so that gets old. You start to drag that around, and you start to become depressed and sad and bummed out about it. Well, but this program has luckily taught me, hey, what's your problem, man? Let's take a hard look at it. You know, in the Mr. Jones story, Mr. Jones went to school, right? He had an education. He was able to create revenue through his education and make money. And in turn, he ended up with a nicer house than me or the person that was telling the story, and a nicer car and a prettier wife, right? And so until the guy was able to say, well, listen, you know, or for me, example, you know, there's been a time in my life where I was sort of jealous of everybody, right? I can still get a bit like that. you know, how come that guy's got so much, right? He works harder than me. You know, it's easy to look at other people and say, how come I don't have that? And but you have to peel it back a little more. And just like the Mr. Jones story, you know, if I was using myself as the example, I didn't go to school. I didn't get the education. I wasn't a person that somebody was going to hire that was, you know, creating a lot of pay. And so it's my fault, right? And so I think, and that's what I was telling my wife, it's all, for me, it's just about accountability, right? Accountability, accountability, accountability. And, you know, I've just even been going through this recently, just sort of picking some of the things that have happened to me in my life that I've sort of carried around as a victim of it, right? Getting punched, you know, all this bad shit that's happened to me. You know, I just had this revelation not that long ago. I'm like, all of this was your own fault, right? Like, I didn't sit there and sit on the pity pot and boohoo about my past, but I hadn't been accountable, right? And, you know, when I talked to my dad, and he, you know, my dad loves to bring up the past and all the bad shit that's happened to me. And I had to tell him the other day, I go, you know, Dad, everything that's happened to me was my own fault, right? I my feet were there. And as soon as I could become accountable, I didn't get a chance. I didn't get an opportunity. Like the one incident that always reminds me is when I was in San Diego hanging out with my buddy Rob, and we went to this guy's house for some reason, probably looking for speed or alcohol. Probably speed, I would imagine, and just somehow ended up in this guy's house. Wasn't invited, right? I'm just following my buddy Rob, and, you know, red flags should have been going off a long time before the incident occurred, right? I should have been like, Rob, why are we walking in this guy's house? Rob, why are we even here, right? But I was possessed, right? I was incensed. I was full of self. I didn't care about other people. I didn't care what other people thought. All I cared about was getting what I wanted. And, you know, that guy punched me right in the fucking face. And I remember my dad's like, what's the matter with that guy? You know, and I'm like, I don't know. Son of a bitch, right? No accountability, victim. And, you know, I had to, and I swear to God, it wasn't, but 6 months ago, a year ago, that I was like, that was my fault, right? I had to say it out loud. That was my fault. And I had to button it up and let go. And I never got a chance to make an amends. Some of these, I feel like I owe that guy an amends. In fact, I feel like I owe him such an amends that I feel like I want to go to San Diego and apologize to him, but I'd never find him. Guys, he could even be dead. Who knows? These are all those casualties of war. But, you know, but that shit can, you know, you get enough of those things and all of a sudden you're just been dealt a bad hand, right? And I love when people say that, oh, I've just been dealt a bad hand. No, it's about accountability. Let's go through the hand, right? And so, you know, trying not to become depressed. I don't sit around going, geez, all the shit that's happened to me. You know, I don't want to be like that. I used to do that when I was drunk, right? Just got dealt a bad hand. And it was always about poor me. And it's not the case. And this, you know, it's a shame that a program like AA was created for alcoholics. I mean, it's amazing, but it's unfortunate that we all can't get a little dose of this, right? Because if you're not dealing with alcoholism, right, what's the point? What's the point? But the point is that this program, these steps, give you such an education on how to maintain some of these things. And, you know, anxiety to me is just somebody, a God, my higher power, something reminding me that I need to work harder on this, right? I get a lot of anxiety when it comes to clients, right? And it's usually the day before. If I see someone's on my book, I'm like, oh God, this person, right? And it's usually because it's an inconvenience. A lot of anxiety comes to me from clients who have a lot of hair, right? Big tons of amount of hair. Because I know that it's going to be harder to get it done. It's inconvenient, right? Nothing better than a simple client coming in, highlight, color, you know, a quick cut. They're happy. I'm happy. You get paid. It's all great. But when a person comes in that has like a ton of hair and you just know, right, things are going to fall through whatever it falls through, right? And so I'll get anxiety about it. You know, this just happened to me this past weekend. I had my first client has a ton of hair, right? My second client has a ton of hair. And my third client was the smoothing treatment, which takes, you know, a couple hours. So I just knew that I was going to be in it. And so it was bringing me a little bit of anxiety. And if I really look at it, I'm like, you have anxiety because she has a lot of hair. You have to really make sure you do a good job, right? It's just me needing to do a better job. But listen, I have to sort of focus on what's going on. I can't just say, oh, I have anxiety, right? Anxiety from everything, right? There are things I have no anxiety about. You know, I had a little bit of anxiety last night because my buddy Jim wanted to walk this morning and we were going to do it at 6 in the morning. So the anxiety was that I was either going to have to go to bed a little earlier because I knew I was going to have to get up earlier, or I was going to stay up till I was where I regularly stay up to, and I was going to get not that much sleep last night. So that was the anxiety. I like staying up late, or I usually go to bed at midnight. I like staying up till midnight. I hate going to bed at 11. It's like that 1 hour earlier just stresses me out. But these are all things that I can look at, figure out, and say, listen, you can have anxiety over this or be anxious about it, but at least understand what the problem is. And that's because I have to look at each individual situation. I just can't be a guy that has anxiety over everything, because I don't, right? And it's same with depression. And, you know, so this program has helped teach me that. You know, I didn't have that. I didn't come in here for anxiety or bipolar or depression, right? I came in here because I drank too much. And it's just a gift that keeps on giving, right? It just is a gift that keeps on giving. But when you try to explain this to a person who's not an alcoholic, they don't care, right? And it's sort of it's the pearl in that ugly oyster, right? You know, it's something we don't want to do. It's breaking us up from our favorite friend, our favorite relationship. But at the same time, you know, we start learning about other situations, you know, mental health, especially what we're going through today. Mental health is big time. A lot of people are struggling with mental health. And I me too, man. I'm afraid of what the future looks like. I'm afraid of what the future looks like for our kids. You know, we're so blessed that, you know, I have a job. We have a place to live. Our kids are healthy. But that's not the case with everybody, you know. And one of the nice things I love about, like, I went to the grocery store. I was at the grocery store yesterday. And I would say probably 7 years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago, when I was doing a lot more running, I would run on the Junction Breakwater Trail. And it's, like, through the woods and farm fields and stuff. And you know, every once in a while, I would run across this guy, and he was living in the woods, and he has mental health issues. I mean, it's clear. I don't know what his issue is, but he can tell. He's really got mental issues, and he was living in the woods, and I would run by him, and he'd carry all his stuff out of the woods every morning, and I'd always wave, you know, good morning. And he was talking to himself. He was really in a pretty bad situation back in those days. And so yesterday I was at Giant, the grocery store, and I saw him. Now, I saw him probably 3 or 5 months ago at Giant and talked to him then. And I was like, hey, man. He's like, you know, hey. And I go, I don't know if you remember, but I always used to see you out on the trail. You were, I guess, living in the woods. And he's like, yeah. And you can tell he's struggling up there, but I saw him yesterday and he's like, yeah, I'm working. I'm like, awesome, man. And he's working and he's doing it, right? I don't know what his story is, but you know, even this guy, you can tell he definitely is having some challenges in the mental health department. I don't know what it is. Schizophrenia. I don't know, but he's struggling. But even this guy, he got a job, right? And he's working, right? And he's making it work and he's doing his best. And, you know, people are struggling out there. And I guess the whole point of that story was sometimes, man, you know, take a second, you know, ask people how they're doing, right? How are you? There is 100 reasons why I shouldn't have said anything to him, right? Because he clearly has a mental health issue. we have nothing to nothing we relate to together. But as a recovering person in this program, I'm always trying to reach my hand out and just say hi and check in with people. And so he reached out, shook my hand. What's your name? I said, Tom. He goes, I'm Joe. And I said, Joe, hang in there, brother. You know, keep working at it, you know. Because I tell you what, when I can work through these things, right, when I can figure it out, when I realized that I could sort of do a four-step on any sort of thing that's bothering me, I thought that was a miracle. And that's only because I don't want to drink again, right? I don't want to go down that path. I don't want to get back into that. I don't want to lose everything, right? And so these tools that these brilliant men came up with work in all facets of our life, right? You know, I've always said, the first step, we admitted we were powerless over self, that our lives had become unmanageable. A lot of people could work this program, right? The problem is we don't get to that point where we're ready to take a look at it until we've fucking been beat up. And not everybody's been beat up. So, you know, if you know somebody out there struggling, check in with them, right? Have a few words, see how they're doing, and, you know, maybe you'll shine a little light in someone's day. All right, let me read this daily reflections, and then I am going paddling. Paddle day. I got a busy day. I got to paddle. I got to get my tooth fixed, dentist, take my son, pick up my son. I've got to do a charity event, or not a charity event. We're having a fundraiser at a restaurant down in Lewis, and I got to go to a meeting. So I've got a full day today. Which is great, man. I'm just blessed, right? I'm so blessed. So let me read this daily reflections, and I'll get out of here. Here we go. Free at last. Love it. May 10th. Another great dividend we may expect from confiding our defects to another human being is humility. A word often misunderstood. It amounts to a clear recognition of what and who we really are, followed by sincere attempts to become what we could be. Yeah. You know, to take a second, reach out to talk to somebody, that's a humble thought. That's a humble move, right? Because self's like, we don't have anything in common with this guy. Let's not have a conversation. Let's not be bothered. We're busy shopping, right? Be bothered, right? Find the humility to reach out and ask people how they're doing, right? If you're having trouble, find the humility to reach out and tell somebody how you're doing. You know, my buddy Matt used to always say, share it out loud, it cuts it in half, right? That was the 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 58. I knew deep inside that if I were ever to be joyous, happy, and free, I had to share my past life with some other individual. The joy and relief I experienced after doing so were beyond description. Almost immediately after taking the fifth step, I fell free from the bondage of self and the bondage of alcohol. That freedom remains after 36 years, a day at a time. I found that God could do for me what I could not do for myself. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what happens when you talk? Self is like, shit, stop. Stop talking. Stop telling people what your problems are because you're going to fix them. Self wants us to be quiet and live in that nonsense and be sick and depressed and have anxiety and bipolar. And self loves all that shit, you know. Self loves the attention. Self loves the medication, right? And this is for some people. Listen, have a conversation with a doctor. This is for me, right? Self, my disease loves me sick, and I'm not being sick anymore. I'm talking. I'm sharing. I'm four-stepping. I'm figuring it out. I'm peeling it all back. And goddamn it, I'm feeling better, right? I'm feeling better, and I'm grateful. And I hope you do too. Have a great day, and we will catch you later. Bye bye.
One night, thunder cracked, mercy backed outside her windowsill. Dreamed I was flying high above the trees, over the hills. Looked down into the house of Mary. Marable lawn, newspaper covered walls, and Mary rising up. Love it all. next morning on the way into town. Saw some skid marks and followed them around. Over the curb, through the fields, into the house of Mary. That what you fear the most could meet you halfway. That what you fear the most could meet you halfway. Take a bottle, drink it down, pass it around. Take a bottle, drink it down, pass it down, pass it around. Pass it down. Pass it, pass it, pass it.